So our limud is Le'ilo Nishmas Moras Dvorah Basar Rav Gershon Zichron Levracha, and so this is the conclusion, the culmination of our year of learning. The yard site was about 2 weeks, right? A little less than 2 weeks ago, and it's a schus to learn Le'ilo Nishmas Mrs. Nussbaum Le'a Shalom, and of course to learn the Sefer for those who have been following Rabbi Appel's Sefer, which we'll of course reference tonight, which has been Morah Derech for us in terms of this limud. So originally we were going to do the Malacha of Malabein, but we changed course at the last minute because realizing this would be the last in the series, it would be kedai to talk about a subset of Hilchos Shabbos, which is very common. Not that Malabein isn't common, Malabein is also common, but the laws of Muktzah are very pertinent to an ongoing observance of Shabbos. So I figured that it would be kedai to talk about Hilchos Muktzah. And we have a local resident expert in Hilchos Muktzah, so if anything goes wrong, we have Rabbi Weinstein and Shira, right? I was pointing in your direction. It's pointing in your direction. So, it's great. So, Rabbi Appel Zichron Levracha gives a very short but very apt introduction to the concept of Muktzah, and that is that the essence of Shabbos is that it's a day of what he calls spiritual connectedness with Hashem. And that's why Muktzah is very important, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that a person could observe all of the laws of Shabbos, not violate a single malacha, but didn't experience Shabbos. Didn't have a soulful experience of Shabbos. The Rambam has a couple of different formulations of this. One is what the Rambam calls Shvisa Hanikeres, discernible rest. Shvisa Hanikeres. The Rambam invokes the pasuk of Laman Yanuach, that we should rest, that we shouldn't be doing all kinds of things, because theoretically, you wouldn't violate Ma'amer, gathering, if you started, you know, organizing your closets. You wouldn't violate Ma'amer organizing your closets and schlepping furniture and all kinds of other things. But would you have Shabbos? Would you have the soul of Shabbos? You spend your whole day doing stuff in the house. That's why Baruch Hashem in America, in Golis, we have Sunday. Sunday you have all the things that you could do that, you know, in Israel it's like a Shver Matzev that they have to adjust. It's not for Shabbos. It's not for Shabbos. And so the whole institution of Muktzah is really to sensitize us to that Nakuda, to that principle, that Shabbos is supposed to be a different kind of day. Theoretically, a person could be on the golf course, they could build an Eruv, but I wasn't going to say anything about that.
I was going to ask.
Not saying anything about that.
Not publicly.
But there's such a... Ba'akifin, I'll just tell you, it's not exactly this, but years ago, I'll tell you Maisa Shahaya, because it relates to this idea of the observance of Shabbos. It's interesting that the Muktzah, the Rambam tells you, it's not the Din D'oraisa. It's a Din D'rabbanan, but it's like a shtickel kiyum of a Din D'oraisa. The Rambam says that Shvisa, Shabboson, Lamanya Nuach, the Ramban, like... So, a couple of years ago, it's already a while now, there was a boy in the neighborhood in school who asked me off the books. He said that his family, they have a not observant family. They have not observant family. They have tickets to, I think it was a Wisconsin Badgers game. They were going to go to the Wisconsin Badgers for Saturday for a football game. So the parents are observant, so they were cheshbening. They can leave the tickets at the will call, and they could stay in the hotel, and they could walk, and the whole thing. So this young man, I'm not a posik, I don't know anything, but he asked me, just a chavis das, what do I think about this? I'm like, that's an interesting question. I don't know. What do I know? So I said, you know what? I was going to speak to Rav Sobolovsky. I said, let me ask Rav Sobolovsky. So I called Rav Sobolovsky. I don't remember if I had to call him about something else, and this came up in Derech Agav. I said, what do you think about going to a football game, a college football game on Shabbos, walking from a hotel? He said, it's a d'oraisa. said it's absolutely usur. Said okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. So, but sometimes when you have a shas adchak, so I said, what do you think if I ask Rav Schwartz what he thought about this shaila? So he said, kuzutay, go ask him. So I called Rav Schwartz Echitzad of a Kosh Levracha about this question, this boy with the football game. So I didn't get too far, so he said to me, Asur midaraisa. He said, there, and you know, in his very thoughtful and dignified way, he said, there are different aspects of Shabbos. There's the malachas of Shabbos. So you didn't violate Hotzah, and you didn't violate, you know, Kosev, and you didn't violate all the different malachas that you didn't violate. But the experience of Shabbos, the Mikroi Kodesh, that's also Minat Torah. That's Shabbason, that's Laman Yanuach. So he said, you cannot walk to a college football game. He says, think about I've never been to a college football game. I've been to a regular football game. I can tell you what that environment is like. It's, no. It's, some people would say it's not Vachadik either, you know. You know, it depends what section you sit in also. But the point is that what is Shabbos about? What is Shabbos about? Shabbos is about time to shut out the rest of the world and go internally to think about what's important to us, to have time internally for ourselves, spend time with our family, to learn, to daven, to slow down a little bit, not to be, you know, tumbling around with all kinds of things that we could do during the week. You make time for it on Sunday. That's what Rabbi Appel says, is that is the underlying principle of Muktzah. That's his introductory note, the Kitzur Nimritz. He quotes the Ramban in Vayikra. He quotes the Rambam. This is it's a big take-home for us. So even if we don't learn anything about Hilchos Muktzah, but just to remind ourselves that when we look at the experience of Shabbos, we're not just looking at, okay, you know, can I check the boxes of this malacha and that malacha? Is it Daraisa? Is it Darabanan? But there's a whole Nishmas Shabbos. There's a whole experience of Shabbos. You know, that's also a Daraisa. That's what the Rebbe Shem gave it to us for. Not just to check a box. Okay. So to do that, the Rambam tells us that we were given something called Muktzah. Now, Muktzah is an important thing to define because when I told Ami today, tonight, this afternoon, that I was coming to talk about Muktzah, he says something about, he's like, oh, it's like driving a car. I'm like, all right, for a five-year-old, you could say it's like driving a car. But we know that Muktzah is a very specific definition. Lahaktus, Muktzah, Maktzah Midas means you have something that you intend not to be for Shabbos. Muktzah means it is a non-Shabbos item, means it's pushed away. And so, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he discusses this, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the way that I learned Hilchos Muktzah from Rav Shechter, not everybody learns Muktzah this way, like the Chai Adam doesn't learn it this way, but Rav Shechter learned it this way, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, many people learned this way, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, he was also given Hilchos Muktzah. He was told that it's not a malacha, but things that are not Shabbos items, you don't belong handling them on Shabbos. The concept of Muktzah means something which is separate, it's a non-Shabbos item, you don't handle that, your Maktzah Midas, you push it out of your mind, that was given to Moshe all the way back at Sinai. That's one concept. Related to that is another concept. It's a second concept, which we'll talk about, but it's important to know that these are two concepts, and they probably developed at different times in history. The first one came from Moshe at Sinai, the other one came in the days of Nehemiah ben Chachalia, who was mentioned in the time of Ezra. Unfortunately, he lived at a time they were rebuilding the second base of Mikdash. The people were not very observant. Just they weren't. They were not scrupulous about Shemiras HaMitzvos. Unfortunately, there was a lot of intermarriage, and there was a lot of Shabbos desecration. Lo aleinu. So Nehemiah decided, he says, you know what, we have to get serious about this. So he instituted special restrictions that you're not allowed to handle things on Shabbos. And when people, you know, got themselves back together, so then they relaxed some of those restrictions. But that's a little different than the initial institution. The initial institution of Muktzah was anything that is not Shabbos use. Then they came along and they added another layer of Gzeira, which was things that theoretically could be for a Shabbos use, and they restricted those. But it's two different gzeiros. What are things that you would use on Shabbos, for example? This looks delicious. What do you think? I don't know which flavor this is, but it's interesting. I'll share it with you if you want. That's all I can share. What are things, what would you say is a non-Shabbos item? Has no utility, you've never used it on Shabbos. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shakal
yivin baruch.
One second, Lior, then we'll get to you. Yeah?
What's
a pen. A pen, awesome. So why wouldn't you use a pen on Shabbos?
Because there's no use for it on Shabbos.
Well, what would you use it for on a regular day?
To write.
Right, okay, so that's what we call a klisha malach tola iser. So if we're keeping our two categories, you have muktzah, that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then you have the secondary gzeira, that was in the days of Nehemiah. Nehemiah would say, a pen has utility, but it's not a Shabbos utility. What's something that has absolutely no use on Shabbos at all?
Money.
Or sticks, or, you know, wood chips, that's absolute junk. So the way the Rav Shechter explains it, he says here are the two different categories. Category one, things that are objectively non-Shabbos items, are anything which is not Adam, Vekelim, Ochlim, and Mashkim. A person, people are not Muktzah, utensils, any utensils, not in theory Muktzah, like even a pen. It's not muktzah, it's going to be the secondary level. We'll call it muktzah, but it's really separate. We'll see there's a big practical difference.
Into your utensil?
It could be if you made it into your utensil. So we'll get to that in a second. So, adam v'kelim, ochlum mamashkim, food, drinks, regular food like for people, or even animal food, pet food, you have a pet. Okay. So that's anything which is not that, that's junk. Anything which is not junk is going to be in your kelim. So what I did was, Beis Yosef in the introduction to Hilchos Muktzah, Simon Shin Ches gives you six categories of Muktzah. I put a little outline here. I gave you seven. It's not exactly the categories that fall in the Beis Yosef. But what I want to do is briefly outline these seven categories of Muktzah. And so that we have a healthy balance, we're going to talk about one side of Isser of each one of these, one restrictive side, and one permissible side, one heter side. Because Chazal, on the one hand, they wanted us to be sensitive to the soul of Shabbos. On the other hand, they want us to have a geshmak of Shabbos. They didn't want us to live miserably. They don't want to take away all the ability that we have. So the first category of muktzah is what we call muktzah machmas gufo. What is gufo? Guf? Body itself. I'm sorry, I forgot your question before. What was that?
It wasn't a question.
Yes.
I don't know. When we grew up, you know, you didn't go near bicycles, you didn't go near...
Okay.
That was all muktzah.
Okay.
Nowadays...
Oh, the scooters. Okay, the scooters. I don't know what to tell you about. Yeah, that's a whole other category. I don't know. My kids don't ride scooters. I didn't ride a scooter, so... I don't know what to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah. It goes also back to the tzur of Shabbos. That's a question. You know, is it a formalist? Or so that I think Rav Shechter once quoted from Reb Yitzchak Shmelkes, the Beis Yitzchak from the 19th century. He actually thought that maybe you should ask for bicycles, Medina, on Shabbos, that there was like a gzeira on transportation, or some say bicycles should be also because maybe you're going to fix them. That's hard to say, because Rav Ovadia has a rule. We don't make up gzeiros b'zman hazeh. We have enough, Baruch Hashem, Chazal gave us enough chumras. Rav Ovadia has a rule, no made-up chumras. Not everybody knows that. But Rav Ovadia is very...
Like the Syrians in Brooklyn all rode bicycles.
They did. Because
right.
It's technically...
The Ashkenazim did not.
No, the Yitzchak says not to ride bicycles. Anyway, so the first category of muktzah that we have is called muktzah machmas gufo. That means it itself is muktzah mamish. It has absolutely no use. When Shabbos starts... Would you ever think to use the leaves in your backyard? Do they have any inherent utility? Do they have any use? No. You would have to be maksa them midas. You have to have mibiyachad them. You have to use them for something. Let's say you had straw in the backyard. A pile of straw. You would never use that for anything. So because you're not using it for anything, it's automatically muktza. But let's say you lived in the 17th century. What's that?
Blanket.
That's right. So in the times of the Mishnah and in the 17th century, if you were in, you know, Shmojigrad or somewhere out there, you know, like one of those great places, you need a mattress, you take like a quilt and you put it on the straw. So you put the quilt on the straw, it's no longer muktzah, but inherently that straw is muktzah. The same thing, like you said, money. This is the issue also that comes up sometimes. credit cards. So credit cards, maybe it's a klisha malach talisha because you use it for transactions, but you could also say that credit card, you don't really use it for anything. Maybe use it for but IDs, let's say a driver's license. I'm not sure that do you use your driver's license for anything? You have a driver's license. Is that called utility? I'm not so sure. I think that the driver's license is probably considered muktzah because it has no utility. You don't really use it for something. Unless maybe,
How about you go to the hospital?
Oh, so this is a big shiloh. This comes up. They discuss it. Somebody goes to the hospital. So obviously, if you're going to the hospital, it's pikuach nefesh. You got to get the paperwork. You got to do what you got to do. So if you can sign with your left hand, it won't delay anything. So you sign with your left hand, but you got to bring your ID and you got to bring your insurance card. V'chule, they got to get you in the door. I wonder if there's a distinction between somebody who wears an ID on a regular basis, they use it to get in and out of a building, versus somebody who keeps a wallet and they have their driver's license. How often do I take out my driver's license? I don't know. When I go to the airport, how often? Otherwise, I don't really use it. So a driver's license is probably muktzah unless you need it for a tzorech.
Grant.
Yeah.
In the 16th century, person wanted to use that straw for a mattress, wouldn't he have to designate that before Shabbos?
Yes, you would have to be miyachad before Shabbos. So this discussion in Shulchan Aruch, can you designate it just with your mind, with your speech, or do you have to actually do something to it? It's a big discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. Another interesting thing which comes up in this category of muktzah machmas gufo, so Rabbi Lapel Zichron Levracha quotes, he says that most poskim are of the opinion that pets are muktzah. There is a minority opinion who dispute that, but he quotes, now, there are different mahalchim about pets. I'm not going to weigh in on anybody's family circumstance.
None of his family has. At least the Chicago family doesn't have pets.
Everybody's okay.
They were very mafmer.
He thinks that most poskim think that pets are muktzah. And why is that? Because pets are not utensils. They're not people. They're not, just for clarification purposes. And some people are very sensitive about this, and I understand. However, there is a minority opinion, but so there's a whole interesting... in a Hanami, it could be that service animals might be different. So there's a big discussion about this among contemporary poskim. First of all, do we view pets in the 21st century the same way that they viewed pets in the 17th century? Could be that today, people's relationships to pets are different than they used to be. Not in my house, but in other people's houses, where they have, a fondness for... We had a goldfish, a beta fish for a couple of months until it went to the Olam Emes, or Hashem. But that's an interesting thing to think about. And if your pet is muktzah, that's going to be important to know. So, the one kula, which I think is important to put out here in this context, is that stones are usser and sticks are usser, but it's important to know that the only isser on muktzah is handling muktzah. Touching muktzah is not usser. If you have a stone, if when you touch it, it will move like this, so that is tiltul muktzah. But if you have a car, we'll get to a car in a second because the car is klishim lachtel isser, but if you have a car, if you just touch the car, it won't move. That's not an isser. The second thing to keep in mind is that the isser is handling muktzah, picking it up, moving it. It's true even, by the way, if you don't actually pick it up. If this can were muktzah, this would be total muktzah also. If I tip it, that would also be total muktzah. But most poskim, I think this is the way Rav Schechter assumes, most poskim assume that total muktzah is only with your hand. But if you have a foot, chazon ish is machmor on things that you generally kick, but I think most poskim are mekel. I think Mishabru is mekel. If you see muktzah, if you see a stone and you want to get it out of the way, you can kick it out of the way. It's not a problem. Because you're not handling it. The gzer was on handling. The whole point is we don't want you doing things that's going to take away. So kicking, that's not a normal way of handling things. So that's going to be mutter. So category number one, things that are junk. Eitzim, avonim, v'yafar, or money, or pets, or IDs. Unless you are miyachid them to become useful, so they're muktzah, but you're allowed to touch them, you're allowed to move them with your elbow or your shoulder or your knee or your leg. That's not a problem. You have something, you got to move it out of the way, so kick it out of the way, not a problem. That's category number one. Category number two is Kli Shemalach Tala Isser. That's Rebbetzin Lior's category of the pen. A pen, it is a vessel. It has utility. It's a Kli. It's not exactly parallel to Kabbalah's Tumah, to things that are Makabal Tumah in laws of Tumah and Tara, but it is, the Gemara and Shabbos has some overlap there. A pen is a Kli. But in the days of Nechemiah, they said, we didn't want you using pens. Why would you use a pen? You're not even going to write with it. What would you use it for? That's right, to open a package. So interestingly, the Gemara says, initially, they asked, in the days of Nechemiah, they were super machmir, they asked you can't handle pens for any reason whatsoever. Why? Because a pen is primarily used for an iser. However, the kula on this side, it's a machlokas, two opinions in the Gemara, we paskin, there is a super duper kula, important to know, when it comes to Kli Shemalach Tal Iser, that it is mutter, l'tzorech gufo umakomo. Gufo means itself, its use, or its place. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out, based on a questionable diuk in the Gemara, but the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you can avoid it, that's the best thing is to avoid it. So let's say you go back to Mike's point here about opening a package. So let's say you have a potato chip bag, and we talked about potato chip bags early in the year. Let's say you assume opening a potato chip bag, naniach, that's mutar on Shabbos. So best thing is, open the potato chip bag with your hands. But let's say you can't get it open, and you don't have a knife. A knife is a Kli Shemalach Tal Iser, used for cutting food. So you can take a knife. If you don't have a knife, you can actually take a pair of scissors. You can take a pair of scissors. You can take a pen. You can take any Kli Shemalach Tal Iser, because you have nothing else. If you had something else, Mishnah Berurah says, better use something else. But sometimes, you don't have something else, and you want to open the package. So you can take a knife. You could take a pair of scissors. You could take a pen. That's called a tzorech gufo. You need the thing, but you're not using it for an iser purpose. That's right. You can't. Or freeze pops. Yes. You can tell who the grandmothers are here, who know the freeze pop situation. So this is called tzorech gufo. You're using the thing itself. Let's say, I don't know, you got to keep the door propped open. Somehow the lock broke and you're afraid to close the door. So you could take a pen if you need to. You could take a pen. Prop open the door. The tzorech gufo. You need the thing itself. Not only that, you can also use it l'tzorech makomo. So let's say by accident, somebody left a pen on the table Friday night. They left it there by accident. So, you know, one option would be the old, like, swift kick of the pen. That's great. That's totally good. But, you know, if your mother is standing there and, like, that doesn't look so ay-ay-ay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to destroy it. Like, you could pick up the pen and put it away. That's it. You are allowed to do that. Because you need the place. You need to set the table. Friday night, you need to set the Shabbos table. It's tzorech makomo. Something is in the kitchen. They forgot something in the kitchen. It's sitting on the counter. You need the counter space. So you're allowed to pick it up and put it back where it belongs. It's true also for...
It's not just to move it out of the way as little as possible.
So the Magen Avraham says, so it's a good point. That's a very important point. Magen Avraham says that, that's colloquially we call this tiltul aroch. What does the word aroch mean? Long. Meaning, the Magen Avraham says, once it's in your hand, you could keep moving it to wherever you want to put it down. Now, the Derech HaChaim Siddur, that's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, Rav Shechter likes this psak, he says that that's true for Kli Shemalach Tal Iser. It's not true for Muktzah Machmas Gufo, Muktzah Mamish, but that pen, you picked it up from the table, you could put it back anywhere you want. Once you're holding it, you could put it down eventually wherever you want.
And if there's money on the table?
Money on the table, no. Why not? Because money is Muktzah Machmas Gufo. Muktzah Machmas Gufo, you only have the heter of Muktzah of Total Begufo. You have to use your body. And the Derech HaChaim Seder says, let's say somehow you had it and you got it onto your body, so you were carrying it on your shoulder, you have to shake it off right away. You can't just carry it up to your room.
So like, what happens when you have money in your pocket?
So you got to shake it out right away.
I thought you were supposed to keep walking, like if you're out and about.
So that might be an Erev issue. The Shulchan Aruch talks about this. It's a little more complicated because sometimes it will depend on the kind of pocket. If the pocket is buttal to the sweater. If it's, there's a difference actually in halacha between a shirt pocket where the shirt is actually part of the pocket versus if it's in a pocket like my pants pocket, which is a separate bag, so to speak. Nice. So there's a little bit of a nuance there. But the best thing is shake it out and then you kick it over somewhere. So this idea of Lotzorach Gufo Mekomo is a very important heter. Rav Shechter holds, Rav Moshe actually has a super duper cool on this. Rav Shechter holds that electrical kalim are kli shemalach tola iser. Rav Moshe is not so sure about that. Rav Moshe might think that there might be a kli shemalach tola heter, but he sounds like he's kind of going back and forth. And I saw that Rabbi Appel, Zichron Levracha, he says that it's a kli shemalach tola iser. So let's say you have the coffee maker sitting on the counter. The coffee maker, it's electrical. It's an electrical appliance. So what is it? It's a kli shemalach tola iser. Can you move it on Shabbos? Do you have to kick it over? Depends. If you have plenty of counter space, so leave it where it is. But if you're making a whole kiddush, or you're setting up for lunch, and you need a place, so you could pick up the coffee maker, you don't have to pick it up with your elbow and it's going to shatter on the floor in 100 pieces. You pick it up, you move it, and you put it down where it belongs.
Plug it too?
So if it's off, theoretically you could unplug it, as long as that's not affecting anything in the electrical current, correct? Right? When you plug it in, you unplug it. I don't think it does. I mean, what's the mitzvah? You have to ask the engineers. Does it do anything if you unplug it or plug it in? What's the mitzvah?
I think there is electricity.
Yeah. Is there?
If you're plugged in.
Oh, so then you shouldn't unplug it. Okay.
What was the difference when Gina said that you had money on the table and you just set the table shops? You couldn't move the money?
No, exactly. Why not? Because... What's that?
Money itself is the muktzah.
It's muktzah machmas gufo. That's the difference between category one and category two. Category one, money is muktzah mamish, has no utility. It doesn't have the same kli. So that was asered by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And there's no heter of tzorach gufo makomo. But if you have a kli, even if it's a kli shemalach to leisr, you have a heter of tzorach gufo makomo. That's the big nafkamina. Exactly. That's exactly the nafkamina. So you got to know, is this thing a kli or is it not a kli?
What's the difference? Like money, you're saying, so let's say you have paper money on the table, and its only use is to be spent as money. So you're saying right. It has no use.
It has no utility.
What's the difference between that and a scrap of paper that has no use anymore?
Oh.
That, wouldn't that also be?
Good. So there is a big discussion about paper. One argument might be that paper is muktzah mamish in a hanami.
I wouldn't say paper in general, but like a...
What else do you do with it? Right. Others say, no, paper, it's a kli.
Say it doesn't have any writing on it.
I could just read it.
You could do that. Well, maybe you would have to designate it as a Chinese fan before Shabbos.
I'll tell you. Designate the pen then also as a kli?
Also, here's the thing. No, the pen, so this is the answer. The answer is, and this is the way that Rav Shechter is magdirid, he says that for Shabbos purposes, one way to think about this is whether this item was manufactured to size. A piece of paper is manufactured to this size so that you can write on it, that it'll fit in a binder. So it is a kli. It might not be a kli for Hilchos Kabbalas Tumah, but for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, it was manufactured for this size. And most Achronim assume that it is a kli shemalachto le'iser. It's a kli for writing. The same way, interestingly, that a soup pot, what would you say is the status of a soup pot? Empty soup pot. What's the definition of a soup pot? What would you think?
It's a pot. It doesn't have to be used only for soup.
It doesn't have to be used. So this is a debate. What would you say is the story with a soup pot?
The bowl.
Okay. So if you have a bowl, so what do you do with a bowl? Use it for what? If you have a bowl. What's that? For eating. And what do you do with it when you're finished eating? Storage, great. What about a pot? Would you say that the primary usage of a pot is eating and storage? I'm not going to disclose in mixed company whether ever I've eaten
storage.
From a pot.
Just storage.
What's that? Storage. Its primary use is storage?
Okay, but a pen's primary
you think so?
Use is not opening potato chips.
Right, that's why. The primary use of a pen is an iser, that's why it's a kli shemalach tola iser. I would think, at least in my house... Yes, you keep the leftover soup in the pot. But the primary use of the pot is for cooking. And that's why I think that the pot is a kli shemalach tola iser. So you're rummaging in the cabinet, you can move the pot out of the way. Why? Because it's tzorech makomo. But if you don't have any real use, you shouldn't be moving the pot. But this is also important. Let's say you have a fan. What's the status of an electric fan? Today, most people don't. But when I was in camp, we didn't have air conditioning in the bunk. You don't have air conditioning in the bunk. You had a fan. Can you move the fan on Shabbos? Rosa, you know what I'm talking about? Can you move the fan on Shabbos? What would you say? The fan is a klisha malachta le'isser. So Rav Moshe would say, and Rav Shechter would say, it's a klisha malachta le'isser. Well, why are you moving the fan? If you're moving it because you want it to blow on you, so that's tzorach mekomo. It's tzorach gufo. Moshe says it's mutter. Same thing, an alarm clock. Alarm clock. You can't see what time it is. Are you allowed to turn the alarm clock to face you? No. So that, you see? Yes, you can. Because it's a klisha malachta le'isser, it's tzorach gufo. You can turn the alarm clock.
So you
could see it because you need to see the alarm clock.
Well, the Shabbos lamps, you're touching them, turning them.
Yeah.
You can move your Shabbos lamp.
Because you're trying to make it lighter or darker. You don't want the room to be bright at 2 o'clock in the morning. You want it to be turned off. How about that?
That doesn't even make any sense.
But can you move it? You can move it.
I told you that a long time ago.
Oh, you stand. You have a pusik in your own house. You got to listen to him.
Let me just publicly say that I'm very grateful.
But Michael claims the box says you can't move it. You
what's that?
The Shabbos lamp actually instructions.
So it depends why. If the chop of the Shabbos lamp is that you're not, yeah, you're not touching the thing. But what I'm saying is that in theory, let's say,
one side of the room is dark.
Yeah, you can move the whole thing because it's a klisha malach lister. This is like a bombshell. This is crazy. If it's in the way, you can move it. If it's too bright, if it's too dark. Okay, we're gonna be here all night at this rate. All right, let's keep going.
Why can't you just take your lamp on the side of your bed and put it on the floor so it's not shining on you?
We just did that. We were in Pesach. We were in this rental house, and the rental houses in Orlando, as heimish as they are, they don't come with Shabbos lamps. They should, but they don't. So you have to bring your own Shabbos lamp. So what do you do? And you have to be very careful. Rachman Litzlan, you shouldn't play around with lamps because I know that sometimes it's dangerous business. So you don't cover them with blankets. No jokes. So one of the kids, they had their bedroom, they had a lamp, but this, I need the light, but it's, then you start negotiating. It's too light, it's not light enough. So we took the whole lamp and put it down on the floor instead of being on the thing, so it's not so bright. It's totally fine.
That's fine. There was really never any need for the Shabbos lamp.
Well, the chop of the Shabbos lamp is that you can adjust it gradually, you know, and then you're not being metalfa. It's a great invention. But a kid, sir, the point is that if you have a...
touch your pots.
But you can touch your
lights. You got it. You got it. Let's say you left something in the car. You left something in the car. So the problem with the car is that the light goes on. So Naniach, let's say you shut off all the lights because there's a way to disable the lights inside the car. And you left it unlocked. I'm not going to say if anybody in certain people's houses oftentimes leave their car door unlocked. Sometimes you get yelled at for doing that. But let's say it happened to work out conveniently that you left the car door unlocked and you put the thing that shuts off all the lights.
I'm more confused who actually sets their car so the lights don't go on.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes if you have kids playing in the back with the things, you just want to end that craziness. So you just shut the whole thing off. So now you have no lights in the car. I forgot something in the car. You can open the car door and take it out.
Really?
Yes.
And the light doesn't.
I don't have a light.
Yes, if you don't have a light. Now, why do you do that? Because you need to get the pants out.
What about more of like a Mara Sign type of thing?
Yeah, that
someone sees you.
So you know what? It's a good opportunity to stop someone and say, you know what? I got to tell you this halacha. This car is a klisha malach to le'isser, but it's letzorach gufo makomo. And I shut off the light.
I'll try to remember that.
I can take out a second pot to consolidate and pour my leftovers.
So what do you? Yes, it's tzorach gufo. Of course you can, because you need the pot. But
it's the other pot's in the drawer with it.
It's just
the
again, it's anything. Anytime you have a klisha malach le'isser, if you're using it, if you're moving it, here's when it's usser. You're moving it because you don't want it to be damaged. I have a pot, and it's sitting on the back. It's sitting on the back porch, and it's a Williams Sonoma, you know, Fapitz. $4,000 pot, and you know that someone in, you know, this is Lincolnwood, this is not, you know, this is the South Side, it might not last till tomorrow, So you have no reason to take it letzorach gufo. You don't need the pot. You're not putting your leftovers in it. And it's not tzorach makomo. You're not making a picnic. The only reason you want to move that pot is so it doesn't get stolen. That is a problem. You're not using it for the pot, and you're not using it for the space. So that's a problem. You can't do that.
Could you like put something in it so that then you're using it?
So the Tshuva Sarash stands to Machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Rishonim. Tshuva Sarash says yes. Yeah. Tshuva Sarash says yes. That's a special heter of Kikar Otinok, which we're not going to talk about. Not told. All right. Category number three. We're going to have to. I don't know if we're going to daven Maariv or Shacharis at this rate. Okay. Category number three. Kli Shemalachto Leheter. A bowl. So we already said a klisha malachta le'isser, you're allowed to move it letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. So what's the difference? We just said, what are you not allowed to do with a klisha malachta le'isser? What are you not allowed to do with a pen? Move it for the sake of the pen. A klisha malachta le'heter, even allowed to move it mechamel itzel, even for the sake of the pen. The only thing you're not allowed to do with a klisha malachta le'heter, a bowl, or, you know, I don't know, stuff in the house, the only thing you're not allowed to do with that is shalol letzorach klal. Just fidgeting with it. Why not? Because you want to have a shvisa ani keres. Chazal said you shouldn't be fidgeting with stuff. If it's a toy, you could play with it. But if you're not playing with it, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. So that is the story with klisha malach to leheter shalol tzorach klal. There is an exception, and that usually relates to food. There's a machlokas achronim if it goes beyond food. Although, our mothers always told us, that's right, don't play with your food. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says on Shabbos, if you're really interested in fidgeting with your food, you can. Okay. Category number four, moving right along. Mukza machmas chisaron kis. Let's say you have something. What would be a good example, you think, Rav Weinstein, of a mukza machmas chisaron kis? Some people have, let's say, an expensive cell phone.
Baseball.
Oh, so we have to get to the Babe Ruth sign baseball in a second. He's trying to... Watch out. Watch out. That is... We'll have to get to that in a second. Yeah. Before we get to the Babe Ruth, because that's a machlokas nachronim. Oh, yes! Yes! Perfect example. You have a knife. This knife, it's only used for cutting paper. It's only used for cutting paper. It's not used for cutting food. It's a very expensive, very fapitzed knife. You know, it's like a letter opener that was, you know, from Napoleon. You got a letter opener from Napoleon.
Better than
Babers. And so it's a very expensive thing. Or you have a cell phone. And it's mukza, it's designated, it's non-Shabbos because of chisaron kis. You're going to lose money. So some of us have cell phones, and we let kids play with them. And we don't care. If you would let your child or grandchild play with your cell phone, it's not mukza machmas chisaron kis. It's not that valuable. Because if it was that valuable, you wouldn't let them play with it. If you would use this theoretically as a door stopper, then it's not muktzamach maschi saron kis. But let's say you would not use it as a door stopper. Let's say your laptop. Your laptop is $1,500. And you're not letting people just play with it. You wouldn't use a laptop as a door stopper. So a laptop is a klisha malachto le'iser, right? It's... Rav Shechter would say it's used the malachas turning on the laptop or typing on it, printing, whatever you're going to do with the laptop. But now that it's expensive, you really designate it. And what you've done is you've shifted from, remember we had category one, real muktzah, bona fide muktzah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and category two, muktzah from Nehemiah, the klisha malach le'iser. The klisha malach le'iser had the special heter of letzorach gufo makomo, which a lot of times is going to be mutter. Right? Think about all the times you're going to use that pot. Tons of times. Not for mukza machmas chisaron kis. You have shifted that item to a category one. So if you have a laptop on the table, you cannot just pick up the laptop and put it somewhere else. Because the laptop is going to be treated like mukza mamish.
You can kick
it. Yes, you could.
Can you pick up the tablecloth?
Perfect. We're going to talk about that in 1 second. That's a busis. We'll get to that in 1 second. But that's an important thing to note, that it doesn't have the same status as a regular klisha malachto Leaser, because it's so expensive, what's called duchtam yachadla, you're going to make sure it stays in a safe place. You're not going to just have it around on Shabbos. You're just not going to just leave it there. So going back to Rav Weinstein's case, so here's an interesting chakira nachronim. But the way that Rav Shechter says this din, he says it's kol malachto le'isser. The difference between, let's say, Lior's case with the pen. You might use a pen for other things. Like Mike said, you might use it for opening packages, right? You might, you could use it for something else. You do. It's just that primarily it's used for malacha. Your laptop, you never use your laptop for opening packages. You never use it for serving drinks. You never use it as a coaster. So Rav Shechter said, that's kol malachto le'isser. It's exclusively Isser. And therefore, you have a place. You keep it somewhere. Let's say you have a very expensive, beautiful menorah. So menorah is a klisha malachto le'isser. It's used for lighting. You don't just leave it lying around the table. You put it in a special place. That's kol malachto le'isser. It's a high level of haktzah midas. So the shaila that Rebbe Eli said is an interesting shaila. It's a machlokas nachronim. What about, let's say I have this picture. So it's interesting shaila nachronim. It's very beautiful.
Very valuable.
It's very beautiful. It's kli, kind of. Is it malachto le'isser?
Doesn't have a malachto.
No, it's malachto leheter, but you designate a place for it. No one just goes picking it up and putting it down. Right? Let's say, or I mean, maybe this picture might be different because you might take it away and reach a safer behind it. Like you might move it, but so the Magen Avraham talks about this. So this is very similar to the Babe Ruth baseball. You keep it in the case and you don't touch it. So that's a machlokas and achronim. Some are machmir, but many are makel on that because they assume that the only concept of Moktzah Machmas Chisaron Kis is one that applies to something which was a Kalisha Malachto L'Isser in the first place. That picture, it's not Malachto L'Isser. So the fact that you don't touch it because you want it to stay exactly there, but there are some Achronim who are Machmer on this, the Babe Ruth case and the picture frame case, all those kinds of things. So now let's go to case number.
Right, the Babe Ruth one is here saying the baseball you can touch.
So,
the baseball you can touch. Babe Ruth's signature made it valuable.
Right. So
it was Babe Ruth's, it was baseball.
Exactly. So that's why some Achronim say, oh, we should be Machmir, because you keep it in a specific place. Other Achronim say, but it's a baseball, Lamaisa. And therefore, the same way that it's Klisha Malach Lelehetah for baseball, you can use it, you can still handle it. Which I think that's how the Orchel Shabbos, which is a beautiful, anybody's looking for a Shabbos Sefer in Hebrew, it's a contemporary, awesome Sefer, it's called Orchel Shabbos, that's how he's making. So let's go to the next case, which is Gina's case, important category, and then we'll end briefly with the last two because we don't have so much time. Chazal said, wait a second, let's say I have a mukta item, like a leichter. Where do you put your leichter on Friday night?
Where the plant is right
now. Okay, so you have a, let's say you have a, oh, the plant is also good. You have a plant. That plant, thanks, Jake. Beautiful. Well done. Well done. That plant, is that Kalisha Malachto Le'isser? Is it? What is that plant? What do you say about the plant? What is it like? What did you guys say? What's the story with the plant? So if it's actually not alive, right? If it's like flowers in a vase and it's lanoi, then it's not mukta. It's a klisha malachto leheter. But if you have like a growing plant, that's mukta mamish. It's dirt, it's leaves. Right? So that plant is mukta. Mukta mamish. Not only is the plant mukta mamish, Chazal said, wait a second, you see what you did? You put the plant inside of a white container. That container, do you plan on using that container? No, why not? That's right. It's for the plant. So that container now becomes subservient or subsumed under the mukta item. That is the law of what we call a basis. Literally a base. It's a basis. It's in the service of something. So not only are you not allowed to move the plant, you're also not allowed to move
the container.
Well, wait a second. Let's say you like that plant there because it makes the room look nice. So that is a It's like a little drawer, a little table.
A little table.
A little table. Guess what? You put it there in with intent that it should stay on that table. That table now becomes the buses.
Buses on buses.
That's right. The Gemara talks about a buses on a buses where you have a candelabra. The candelabra is holding a cup. The cup is holding the oil. The oil is holding the wick. The wick is a buses for the shalheves, for the flame. Everything, the whole 9 yards, the whole thing becomes a buses.
But there's things inside that. You could still open it up.
Oh, okay. So great. So there are a couple of important keys that the Gemara introduces when we talk about the law of buses. What makes it that this white thing, what is it called? I don't even know. A plant holder? What is it called? A planter. We have to know these things. Planters.
I don't know.
That's good. What makes the planter in the service of the plant? You put it there. But what if somebody else puts it there? Can they make your thing into a buses? The florist put it there. Well, you agreed with the florist by keeping it in there. The rule is, you determine what's muktzah on Shabbos. So you define a buses. Number one, the Gemara says, it's only if you did that intentionally. Let's say you walked in Friday afternoon. Not in this house, it's always calm. There's no one rushing. Everyone's early. You come up from the basement. Everything is 2 hours before, it's chilled. Sometimes in some houses, I don't want to speak for anybody else, sometimes it can be a little bit hairy on Friday afternoon. So like you're putting things all over the place. And you realize, oh my gosh, I just put my laptop down or something on the table. Does that mean that my tablecloth and my table become a buses? No. Why not?
It wasn't your intent.
That's called shocheach. This is also true. Magen Avraham says, let's say you put it there on Tuesday and you didn't go into that room. You put it on the dresser on Tuesday and you put it there on Tuesday. Not that you always keep it there. You just put it there on Tuesday and you figure Friday but then Friday came around, you never got to it. Does it become a buses? No, because on Friday you forgot about it. So you decide whether it's a buses or not. Nobody else can decide. And not only that, this is a machlokas and it's a mamaka matrak. You can rely on this. This is also true if the Balei HaTosfos say, if you didn't intend that if it should stay there for the whole Shabbos. You put it there, it was just going to stay there Friday night. So B'Shas HaTchak, if somebody else moved it, it doesn't become a buses. Somebody moved it somewhere. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Sometimes, like Chaim now, he's doing sometimes waitering jobs. You know, for caterers, the party planners. So it's an interesting thing. They sometimes will set a table Friday night, before Shabbos, and they'll put little tea lights on the table. So the tea lights are a buses, and the glass holders are a buses. And then does the table become, then they have like a pretty mirror that they put on top. That also becomes a buses. So all of these things become a buses. So you have to figure out, so the light, it extinguished. It went out. There's no tilt. But the thing still becomes a buses. It's a buses the whole Shabbos. So number one, b'makom tchak, the Dalei Tosfos say the plan was that the Nachrim were going to take it away, so it's not a buses anymore. But this gets to the second major theme, and there's a lot more to talk. We could talk many hours. But the second major theme is that something is only a buses if it's a buses, if it is serving a davar ha'aser. On that tray, there are two pictures and a plant. So the table is holding the plant, but it's also holding the pictures.
Not exclusive.
That's right. It's got to be exclusively or primarily in the service of a davar ha'aser. So they talk in the poskim a lot about, we don't have this at home, but some people have this, a tray for their leichter. Do people usually have this? Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting thing. The leichter, you figure, of course the leichter is a buses. The candlesticks are holding the glass cups, which is holding the liquid, the whole... But the tray also would become a buses. And that would mean that even after the lights go out, you couldn't pick up the tray and move it off the table to change the tablecloth for tomorrow. So a lot of poskim say, Ramosha says, you know what he says in the tshuva? He says, take a challah. When Shabbos starts, when before Ben Hashemos, before you light, you put a challah on the tray. So now, isn't it exclusive? No. Or they put salt shakers.
So that's someone who would like on their table.
Yeah. If you're leaving it somewhere else, you don't need to move the tray. But it's important to know that this is a rule that not only does the thing itself have a status of muktzah, but you could also create a bosses. Great. Last two items, and we're just going to roll through them very quickly because we're way over time. One is called nolad, and that is something which is created that didn't exist before Shabbos. So there's a big discussion about this. So let's say you have, I don't know, in the times of Gemara, this happened. Let's say you have a dog and you need to feed your dog, and you also have a cat, and the cat, Baruch Hashem, is zaken usva yomim. It comes Shabbos morning, parcha nishmasa of the cat. It went to its eternal rest on Shabbos. That's what happened. So what is the dog thinking? Breakfast. Baruch Hashem, finally, after all these years. Gevaldik. So this is a big shaila in the Gemara. Can you cut up the cat and feed it to the dog?
No.
Because, I'm just telling you what, this is what it is.
What masecha is that?
This
is masecha.
No, you shouldn't do that. In the times of the Gemara, they got it. That's right. So if the animal dies on Shabbos, you have to figure out, is that called no? It's called nolad. It went from being your friend to being dog food on Shabbos.
You can't just go with ice cubes.
Okay, we could talk about ice cubes also, but that's if you really wanted.
It's weird to call nolad when you're talking about something that.
Right. Yes. Dead, so. But that's the exact case. So the Gemara has a lot of complications. Depends. Was the animal sick? Was it elderly? You know, it's a whole. Yeah, so.
Because I have no idea how to translate that.
So, here's an example of something that could be nolad. There's three opinions in the Rishonim. No, it's good. I'm just saying, hypothetical.
Why she didn't learn Gemara ever.
Don't be a pet in the veranda.
Right. So, there is one line in the Gemara that is interpreted by some of the Rishonim, specifically Chachmei Ashkenaz. In the context of freezing and unfreezing liquid, there are three opinions of how to interpret this, but one interpretation is, if I have water and I froze that water on Shabbos, I've created something and something has appeared. So the ice that is in a cube, so that didn't exist like that before Shabbos. And vice versa, if I have ice cubes and I put them in a bowl and then they melt, so one opinion, based on the Sefer Truma, is that that is nolad. That is something which is born on Shabbos. And if the whole principle, all this discussion is about what did you have intent for on Shabbos, right? We go back, muktzah machmas gufo, you never intended to use on Shabbos. So it's muktzah, it's out of your realm of possibility, of thought. Klisha malach dola isser. You didn't intend to use the pen on Shabbos, so we're going to say it's out of your thought, that we'll treat it like muktzah. It's not really muktzah, but the same thing. You didn't intend to have this water. When Shabbos started, it was ice. So that is an interesting question. Not everybody agrees to that, but that would be an example. And that's why some people are machmir, not to drink. Let's say you put out a bowl of ice on Shabbos, and it's been sitting there. You remember the days when we had company? So you had Shabbos meals. They went for like Ad Meya Ve'esrim Va'ad Bechlal. So you would have a bowl of ice. It would sit on the table. By the time you finished, it was soup. So the Shmirah Shabbos thinks that you shouldn't drink that. Why not? What's wrong? It's water. So some Rishonim think that that water is created. It's nolad. It's muktzah in a certain sense. Because it existed as ice, and now it's water.
But if you use that ice in your water, and then
good.
By the time you're done,
excellent.
All water,
right.
Then what?
So that is an awesome Yoredeya principle. That's a Kashrus principle. That's based on a Mordechai, which it's good to quote the Mordechai before Tisha B'Av. The Mordechai was one of the very important Rishonim. He lived in the 13th century. He was killed in the Rindfleisch massacres in 1298. So this is a time we mourn great tzaddikim. So the Mordechai, one of the most influential Ashkenazi Rishonim. So when he was murdered, his students, he didn't have to put together a sefer in his lifetime, so they had to cobble it together. So the Mordechai has a chiddush. He has a very important point. He says that if you have something that becomes dissolved into something else without perception, then as it becomes dissolved, it becomes nullified. So the ice cube, it's dripping out that water, and if you're machmer on that water, that water has a super duper chumrah because you could eat it on Motzei Shabbos, but you shouldn't eat it today. But the Mordechai says, yeah, but it just disappeared. So therefore, what you will oftentimes see is that a lot of times people, they will actually put the drink in first, and then they'll put the ice cubes in. So that anything that melts, or you put the ice cubes in, then you put the drink in right away. But anything that melts from those ice cubes that becomes nolad, it goes right into the drink for exactly that reason. All right, last point, which is muktzah machmas mitzvah, which we're not going to talk about, but this is something that I totally did not understand growing up. Muktzah machmas mitzvah means it is designated for mitzvah use. So let's say it's part of your sukkah. So it's muktzah on Shabbos. But that's not exactly the same thing as muktzah on the regular things about Shabbos. Muktzah on Shabbos means you're not allowed to handle it. Muktzah for a sukkah, for a mitzvah, it's true you're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos, but it primarily means it's only supposed to be used for that mitzvah. Like I thought as a kid that when the sukkah poster falls down on Chol HaMoed, you have to leave it on the floor because it's muktzah. No, that's totally wrong. You pick it up. It's muktzah in the sense that you can't use it for a lunch bag. You can't fold it up and make a paper airplane out of it because it was part of your sukkah. But it's muktzah. It's not muktzah in the sense that there's an iser tiltul. It means it's designated for use of a mitzvah. So
stock that you could use to hold the door open, like you said, because you're too worried the door. You could use a pen, but you can't use a schach.
That's right. Because the schach is only supposed to be used for a mitzvah item. So let's say if during Chol HaMoed, one of the pieces of schach fell down, you can't use it as a baseball bat. Not because you can't handle it. Let's say the schach fell down. Does it have to sit on the floor for the whole Chol HaMoed? No. You pick it up and you put it back. It's just, sometimes it's just important to know that sometimes use the word muktzah. Muktzah means designated, right? Separated. So sometimes we use it for Shabbos purposes, meaning it's designated for non-Shabbos use. And sometimes we use it for a different. And that's why I put it on this list, because it's sometimes it's related to Shabbos, but it's really something different. It means this item is muktzah for a mitzvah. It shouldn't be used for something that's a non-mitzvah item. But it's not that there is an iser tiltul, not that you're allowed to handle it. So, to chazer, we'll go back from back to forward.
Like if I pull one of my shoulders off the shelf, I can't hold papers down with it.
So in that case, it might be a little bit different because you're probably finished the mitzvah, right? Well, meaning you're saying on Rosh Hashanah.
Anything.
No, any day it's not huktzah l'mitzvasa because this mana mitzvah is over. Shabbos it's going to be a klisha malach to l'iser because you're gonna use the klisha malach. So that's a big question. So it's only mutter to handle it. Well, it's going to be also on Shabbos because right. We're special gzeira. It's mutter on Yontif to handle it because it's a mitzvah. But it's interesting. Otherwise, if it wasn't, it would be muktzah. It would be a stick. It would. It's only because
like even on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, like you can't touch.
You can't exactly because it's not used for the mitzvah. It's huktzah l'mitzvasa, and there's an iser total. You can't handle it. So we talked about huktzah l'mitzvah, nolad, things that are created on Shabbos, buses, things that serve other things on Shabbos, muktzah machmas chisar and kis, super expensive items which are upgraded to the level of muktzah machmas gufo. We talked about klisha malach to leheter. You can move it for whatever you want, any bowl, any spoon, anything like that, except for shalol tzor klal. And the main two topics we talked about were muktzah machmas gufo, the class A Moshe Rabbeinu primary distinction, where we said that you're not supposed to move that in any shape or fashion with your hand. You could touch it as long as it doesn't move. You can elbow it. You can move it with your you can hip check it, but you can't move it. Versus klisha malach v'leisur, which was instituted in the days of Nehemiah, and then they were more makel. They said you can move it letzoruch gufo makomo, and that is probably the most common thing that happens. That if you have a kli, it's specially designed, it's manufactured for this, even if it's malach do le'isr, if there's no other way to do it, if you could get something else, if you could use a bowl rather than a pot, great. But if you want to use a pot, because it's going to fit the right size, it's going to fit in the fridge, and it's not going to make you crazy, so then you can take the pot, because it's letzorach gufo. If you have something sitting on the desk, or it's on the table, or it's on the bed, somebody came home, and they threw their wallet on the bed. what would you say? Is a wallet a klisha malachta le'isser, or is a wallet a klisha malachta le'heter, or is it mukta mamish? What would you say is the story with the wallet? Mukta mamish. Why? Because it has money in it. What about the wallet? The wallet is a kli. But what's the wallet? That's it. The wallet is a busis. So the wallet becomes a busis to the money. So the whole thing is mukta mamish. So the way to get it off the bed is... Right? Okay. Now, does the bed become a busis? Probably not. It was shochech. You chucked it on there. So you could kick it off, or you could tilt the mattress to get it off. This is just, you know, different eitzes. We don't have time tonight to talk about tultum and atzad. But the main point of this is that what it does, the Rambam tells us that it does, is it actually it raises our consciousness on Shabbos. It helps us realize that before we do stuff, we should be thoughtful and figure out, is this a Shabbos activity or not? It actually slows us down a lot. And it says, wait a second, what am I doing here? And why am I doing it? And you could argue, talk about the soul, the experience of Shabbos. Isn't that the greatest gift of Shabbos? That you could be present, that you could slow down, then we're not for tumult, we're not rushing, we're not doing, we're just present. So yes, there are a lot of details of Hilchos Muktzah, and there's a lot to learn. But the idea that if we just think before we do, if we're conscious of what we're moving and why we're moving it, it can help us actually enhance our Shabbos in a beautiful way. Sure. So, thank Yasha you. Koach, thank you to the glasses for hosting. Thank you everybody for coming. Myriv? We're only now again.